This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Thank you for all the ways that you are enabling people to share their wisdom, and also for holding the torch for everybody to know where to find how to find their way, and for just having a golden heart. I just so appreciate you.
From time immemorial, beginning with indigenous councils and ancient wisdom traditions, through the work of Western visionaries such as Plato, Galileo, and quantum physicist David Bohm, mutually participatory dialogue has been seen as the key to evolving and transforming consciousness, evoking a flow of meaning, a Dhaya flow of logos, meaning, beyond what any one individual can bring through alone. So join us now, as together with you, the active deep listener, we evoke and engage in living dialogues. I'm your host, Duncan Campbell, welcoming you to Living Dialogues. And for this particular dialogue, I'm again delighted to have as my guest, Sabanfu Somei, good personal friend and a brilliant spirit and author, praised by many people for her teachings around the country, around the world, and also for her three books, one of which, The Spirit of Intimacy, Ancient Teachings in the Ways of Relationships, we've spoken of at some length in a prior dialogue, and her two other books, Welcoming Spirit Home, Ancient African Teachings to Celebrate Children and Community, and Falling Out of Grace, which will be, in a sense, the topic of this particular dialogue. So, Sabanfu, again, it's just a real joy to have this time together.
Oh, thank you. It's such a joy to be back.
Well, in a prior dialogue, we did give people a kind of preview, as it were, of the main topics that you deal with in your book, Welcoming Spirit Home, Ancient African Teachings to Celebrate Children and Community. And I just thought I'd introduce that topic again, and we'll speak of it at greater length now, but introduce it with a word from Angelus Arian, cultural anthropologist and author of The Fourfold Way, whom we spoke about before, a great mutual friend of both of ours and known, I'm sure, to many in our audience for her own wonderful teachings in this area. And she says of your book, Sabanfu, that, quote, "Welcoming Spirit Home is an exceptional portrait of the power and beauty of ritual's inherent function and importance in our daily lives. Sabanfu Somei's commitment to children and to community are vivid reminders of how these two essential components enhance and enrich the human spirit and ultimately ensure the sustainability of our future." Close quote. And so, in one of our prior dialogues, we also talked about how in modern culture, there is a focus, we could say, on older individuals rather than children. To some degree, there's a focus on children, but really the main consuming public, if you will, that is of interest to marketers in the consumer culture are people in their teens and 20s and 30s who are the biggest spenders, we might say. And so for the early part of life, children, and for the latter part of life, elders, really they share a common marginalization, if you will. And you're bringing to the fore how important it is for us to renew ourselves with really paying attention to and learning from children and community, and how important community itself is. As you put it so brilliantly, I thought, in saying it's community that keeps parents sane in the difficult challenge of creating an atmosphere in which children can both be themselves and experience a kind of freedom of expression and yet be contained within certain limits and discipline so they don't inadvertently harm themselves. Now, that's an extraordinarily difficult and hugely important task in our culture that is not only sometimes underrated, but also the parents aren't given a great deal of support or guideline from the culture or the community in that great task.
That's right, for the simple reason that I believe that people think that it is only the duty of the parent to take care of the children. But really, you know what? Parents are just human beings, and they can do their best. And by my cultural standard, a parent can do so much. Each person in a child's life is like a world into itself. And so the more world available to a child, the more the child will benefit from that. But unfortunately, parents failed miserably because society let them down also. And as a result, they end up feeling like failure, when in fact, nobody's really supporting those people and so forth. So I really believe that in order for us to be able to change the way things are, if we want to begin to make our peace or live in peace in this world, we have to really begin with our children and with our elders. How can we be at peace when our children do not have adequate support in becoming adults? So far, I haven't seen any culture survive without their children. And so, obviously, children are our best asset so far. And so, I would like to see in this world, in my lifetime, a way of supporting parents in being able to bring children forward in the best possible way. Because when a child needs are met, then this child can grow up to be a peaceful adult. But when the child already grows up without having all the support they need, you know, the trouble always already starts to show before they even grow up. And then we come up with terms like ADD to show that, in fact, we haven't given them enough attention, and that's why they're craving attention and so forth. The same with the elders, because the elders are the grounding force in the community, and we don't actually ask enough of their input, and yet they have much to share. We simply think of them as being old. But, you know, the word old in the Dagger tradition means someone who has been cooked in the juice of life and has now this lasting effect. And so if we can begin to see in our elders someone who has wisdom, ready to share that wisdom, then we won't have to recreate the wheel of life all over. We can simply draw from their wisdom and continue to stand proudly, you know, on the shoulder of our ancestors in order to be able to bring our gift in the best possible ways. But until that happens, until our elders and our children receive and support and respect, we are always going to feel lost in the middle because no one is there to support us or to create the bridge for us to walk on.
And in a prior dialogue, you talked about creating bridges that were safe to walk on. And in her introductory remarks that I quoted at the top of this dialogue from Angelus Arian, she talked about the important part that ritual plays in achieving these kinds of goals. And so perhaps you could talk at this point, Sabanfu, about how this appreciation of children and appreciation of elders is achieved in your background, in your Dagara tribe village in West Africa, and how you see those kinds of insights could be brought into new modern contemporary rituals that we could create inspired by that example here in the West.
In Africa, there are countless of rituals of honoring the children and the elders, and one of those is, for instance, the sharing that takes place between the old and the young, where we sit back to back, basically transmitting information, because the young people are just coming from the spirit world. And they basically are bringing fresh news. And the elders are getting ready to go back to the world of the ancestors. And they know much about this world, and they need to pass it down to the young person who is just coming. And so it's just like, having two computers, share information. And so that ritual happened with the elders and the young people anytime the need shows up. There's also, for instance, a yearly ritual done by the very young and the very old, where the young people basically sing the song of praise to the elders, and they run toward the elders who are sitting in a row. And at the end, you know, they jump in and they while singing, and they make this song, which is a way of acknowledging that there is someone to hold them, to ground them in this world. And so that ritual happens every year, you know, in order to renew and to strengthen the relationship between the young people and the elders in the community. And this ritual can be really easily be done in the West also, because there are a lot of elders who will benefit from the presence of the children, you know, be it as something as simple as taking children to visit elders in hospice or in their homes. You know, there is that exchange is invaluable, you know, and you are also teaching the young person that to be an old or an elder in the community is not something that is bad, but it is something to look forward to because it is a place of prestige. You know, like in my tribe, when a woman becomes what we call a great mother, or otherwise known here in the West as the crone, you know, there is a whole ritual that goes around that where she's looked at as the water of life of the community, and same for the man, because she has now gathered all this different water from all her life and from all the different path walks that she has taken, and she's ready to feed that to her community. So as a result, the people go to her or to him for blessings and for wisdom and for guidance. And, you know, this water that they will give you, this blessings that they will give you, this wisdom they will give you, is something that is invaluable. Hence, you know, the term water of life for the community and so forth. And so, you know, in like a family gathering, you know, we can improvise these rituals, you know. And rituals, by the way, is not just something that you do mindlessly, but it is something that starts with an intention. It has a purpose, and it is basically to the soul what physical food is to our body. And so to not have a ritual in one's life is to basically live a fragmented life, because ritual enables us to bring things together, to heal, to connect to our roots, and to plug the our wires in the right place so that communication and energy flow in the right way and so forth.
Well, listening to you, Sumanfu, I can imagine that people may feel very inspired by what you're saying, because it does ring so true. It has such a great resonance across time and space. And yet, in our modern society here, it's often true that not only are the grandmothers and grandfathers not living in the same community as the children, but I think it's now over 50% of parents in the West that are single parents. In other words, a divorce has occurred, and the child is being raised without even both the masculine and the feminine energy in the same household. And so given those demographic, we might say, or sociological conditions in the West, what have you been able to find as ways that people can tap into these kinds of rituals and create them for themselves?
Well, you know, in my last book, Falling Out of Grace, I talk about the fact that single parents are actually setting a new standard that people who are married have forgotten or have taken for granted, actually, because the single parent has to work four times or more as hard as a couple who is married, you know, A, to find the ritual appropriate for the child, and B, to be able to bring either the feminine all the masculine into the reality of this child that they're raising. Because if they do not try to create that community for the child basically will grow up not knowing what it is, you know, if it is a girl that is being raised to be around a man, and or to be in a relationship with a man, and vice versa. A boy will not grow up knowing how to interact with women because they haven't a clue. They have never seen, you know, their parents interact in a context of a relationship and so forth. So as a result, the rituals that are needed, you know, for the parents, often it is a huge grief ritual that they have to go first through to get themselves clear of their emotions from the breaking of their relationship. And, you know, they're going to need, you know, an enormous amount of earth ritual, you know, to ground them, you know, so that they're not, you know, continuously flying somewhere and not having their reality grounded. And, you know, they're going to also need, you know, to bring, you know, different people for the naming of their child and for celebrating all the different transition of the child's life, so that the life of this child is going to be fuller than it actually is, or it might be if they didn't have rituals and community involved and so forth. And so, and the same would go for people who take, you know, being in couple for granted and stop actually working on the different ritual, because we need to make sure that these children get as much ritual in their life as possible. I am not saying to force it down their throat, but when appropriate, to bring the ritual in so that the children feel valued, seen, and that they have a place in community and so forth.
Well, I know a number of women, such as Starhawk, for instance, whose books are known to many in the audience, have initiated within the last two decades as part of the women's movement, or in conjunction with it, a ritual when a young woman, a girl, is just having her menarche or beginning her menstrual period for the first time, instead of having to undergo that alone or without any connection with the mother, or maybe just some kind of embarrassed or awkward discussion with her mother, they are creating community rituals where older women welcome in ritual ways the young girl into her womanhood.
Right.
And that's just being created here spontaneously, inspired by some of these ancient traditions. So have you encountered that in your travels and teaching?
Yes, in my tribe, we definitely have many different rituals, you know, and the honoring of the menstruation is definitely important. You know, just like being born, you know, is also an initiation. In fact, the first initiation that we ever go through, and where we need to be celebrated, welcomed into the world, going to naming ritual, and to completing your first 5 years, because in the Dagra tradition, you are still in the spirit world until the age of five. And after the age of five, you know, you are now developing to becoming more of a human being, still, you know, carrying spirit, of course. But at the same time, you know, the name that you had, you've owned your name until the age of five. And after the age of five, now your name owns you. And so there is another ritual acknowledging that stage. And so for young women, with your first menstrual cycle, you taught to look forward to it. And I clearly remember when I started my menstruation, I was so happy that I started to run away. I mean, the elders had to catch me and basically pinned me down because I was so excited. And I didn't even give them the chance to do all the prayers and the blessings they needed to before introducing me to the community and so forth. And, you know, and also, you know, when you become a mother, when you get married, it is another celebration, that happen when you become a mother, a father. You know, there are rituals around all of that. So at each stage of your life, you know, from the time before you were even born to the time after, when you go back to the land of the ancestors, there are all kind of rituals that you do or that the community has to do for you. You know, I mean, rituals that you do in a sense that those might be like personal rituals because there are different kind of rituals. And, you know, community rituals when the people do the ritual communally, or radical rituals, which, as the name says, are rituals that are very radical, like initiation is a radical ritual. And those rituals are designed by the community on behalf of one individual or several individuals and so forth. And the difference between a radical ritual and the other ritual is basically that the radical ritual needs a community presence and it needs a welcoming to seal the experience of the person and so forth. So as a result, when you I teach out in the West, you know, I take into account all these different rituals. And sometimes you even find, you know, when you do a ritual for the young women who are just starting their menstruation, you realize that some of the adults are also at a crisis with their menses because they were taught that it was something dreadful and it was negative and, you know, you shouldn't really be telling anybody that you had your menses. And for me, it's something that is positive. You need to celebrate. This is the time of the year when the veil between, when the veil between world is almost non-existent, where you are channeling a lot of energy and, you know, you just need to be celebrated. And so just trying to share those views, and a lot of women who have gone through the whole cycle and have now gone through menopause, realizing that they never really celebrated. They just couldn't wait to have their menses be over with. And so there is, again, a need to create a ritual of healing for those women. So ritual it is every day.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've done in our two dialogues and this dialogue so far is that we've really focused a great deal on the wonderful gifts and traditions that you have brought with you from your own village and tribal elders in Africa, and having actually visioned that yourself and had that vision by the elders that you would be coming here bringing great gifts and making your own way in this strange and new world. And one of the things I'd like to do in the final few minutes that we have here together is talk about, from your perspective, what are the gifts that the modern world or the contemporary world or the Western world, however we might call it, has brought to you? Because from one perspective, we can see, as Alice Walker says, that the gifts that come from traditional cultures can help us, quote, put together so many things that our modern Western world has broken, unquote. At the same time, some of the things that have been broken we might see as a necessary ritualistic or initiatic breaking away from perhaps situations that were too closed. And in any kind of mystery of initiation, there is a breaking away. There's a breaking down and a replacement with a new and different form. And if we look at this from a planetary perspective, we might say that the intensity of the individualism of the West has, in a sense, called forth teachers from the elder culture, such as your own and such as yourself and your husband Melodoma and others from many other parts of the world, to come and work together in a kind of mutual weaving and mutual healing and mutual co-creation of a new planetary wisdom culture. And so in our last few minutes, I'd like to invite you, Sawa Bonfu, to talk about the gifts that you see that the West itself and modern culture has to bring to this great co-creative effort.
Wow, that is a big question, but I can say personally that some of the greatest gifts that I have received here have been the gift of friendship, which is something invaluable. and the gift of acceptance. Because as I said earlier on, every human being looks for acceptance because we don't really want to be in a place where we are not wanted. And I have found in the heart of the modern world a place where I am accepted, where the wisdom of my elders can live, and where it becomes a place of freedom for me, because I am not, or I am no longer the only person carrying the burden of making sure that this wisdom remains alive. And the other gift that I have received is that a few years ago, somebody asked me this question again. You know, if there was one thing that you wanted to take back to your tribe, what would that be? And the one thing that jumped into my mind was water. Because from the time I came into this country, I realized that water is permanent. Any time of the day, you get up, you turn the faucet, water is flowing. When I was growing up, and still today, you know, there were a time, about now, you know, the springtime, which is like the driest time of the year in my country, where there's no water, where you have to sit and wait all night for water, and also where sometimes the water you will get is only mud that you have to press and put ash in it so it will settle and you have water. So as a result, you know, I said water. And so we started to drill wells in my village and in other areas, you know, to give some of these people who walk for, you know, sometimes half a day getting water, a hope, you know, to have a better life, you know, to have something that is so basic and yet so important to the well-being of human being. And so Wisdom Spring Inc., which is a nonprofit I funded, tries to do fundraising to drill wells for people. The other thing, the other gift that I have also received here is, you know, the possibility of actually finding a home somewhere in the heart of the people who live here in this world, in this modern world. But also, on the other side of that is the gift that I see that it's possible for the indigenous not only to live here but to also understand how the modern world works, you know, to understand traffic lights and to understand cars and all of those things that are so foreign in my own culture and so forth. So there are many, many, many gifts that I have received from the West, and that I see that people from the West are making a difference in my own country and so forth. And also that there is a chance for people in Africa who are busy becoming modern to someday come to the West and to find their own culture here and to learn from people in the West who are now carrying the wisdom of their own tradition.
Well, that's so well described. I really appreciate all that you've said about this, because my sense of it, Subhanfu, is that we are working together to create a planetary culture, and I have such appreciation of the gifts that you have given and others like you, and I believe part of it from my own perspective is that we are all becoming planetary citizens, as you're saying, that we can find a home everywhere on Earth because we can find the home in each other's hearts and a more open and enriched perspective and understanding from our coming together and sharing our traditions and their gifts. And it reminds me of when I was traveling in Varanasi in India, I found the home, as it were, the birthplace of a great 15th century poet named Kabir.
Oh, right.
And it was a tiny little tank, as they call it, a small tiny pool of water in the middle of the urban area of Varanasi, an urban area, and with a teeny little temple. And as we shared our mutual appreciation of Kabir, myself and the 12 people that were there saying his poetry at 5 in the afternoon, I spoke a poem about the swan that I was familiar with from Kabir. And in return, they said to me, oh, this is so wonderful, because Kabir says we are all pilgrims on this great earth.
Right.
And I think from any culture and any time period, we are all pilgrims, and we're like pilgrims sharing together our stories as we go through this beautiful journey into and ceaselessly manifesting the beauty of the creation, which is our common source. And so for all you've done, Subhanfu, I want to again thank you. It's just been such a pleasure meeting you in the cosmos and meeting you here on the earth in my country, and one day I hope to actually be able to share this same experience with you in West Africa.
Absolutely, and thank you for all the ways that you are enabling people to share their wisdom, and also for holding the torch for everybody to know where to find how to find their way, and for just having a golden heart. I just so appreciate you. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Subhanfu. Again, Subhanfu Somme. And for those that may wish to contact you or get in touch with Wisdom Spring, Inc., perhaps as we go out here, you could give your website.
Through subhanfu.com, or you can look under walkingforwater.org.
Walkingforwater.org or Subhanfu, that's S as in Sam, O-B-O-N as in never, F-U.com. I'm your host, Duncan Campbell. I've been speaking with the wonderful Subhanfu Somme. Join us again next time on Living Dialogues. And visit us on my website, livingdialogues.com. That's living, DIALOGUES.com. And if you'd like to listen freely to additional archived visionary dialogues with myself and other transformational thinkers listed on my livingdialogues.com website, once you have entered your free subscription to the Living Dialogues podcast here on Personal Life Media, future Living Dialogues will automatically be downloaded to your computer on a weekly basis. Or simply browse through the list of programs here whenever you like, download them, or listen to them on your computer. Thanks again for your deep listening in evoking this program. All the very best. And stay tuned now after the music for some very interesting opportunities available to you as a listener to Living Dialogues.
Find more great shows like this on PersonalLifeMedia.com.